Thanksgiving Day editorial in the newspaper told of a school teacher who asked her first graders to draw a picture of something that they were thankful for. She thought of how these little children, they were all from poor neighborhoods, and what did they actually have to be thankful for? She was curious. She knew most of them would draw turkeys and tables full of food, but the teacher was surprised with the picture that Douglas handed in, and it was a simple handprint. It was a simple hand. Of course, the teacher thought, but whose hand is it? The class was captivated by this, by his drawing, and some of them said, I think it must be the hand of God that brings us food, or I think it must be the hand of a farmer that grows the turkeys. Finally, when the others were back at work, the teacher bent over Douglas's desk and asked whose hand it was. And Douglas says, "It's your hand, teacher. It's your hand." She recalled that frequently at recess, she had taken Douglas by the hand, and she often did that with several children, but it must have meant so much to Douglas. What a gift of thanksgiving she had received from this boy. That a simple gesture of hers meant so much to him. As we're thinking about and beginning our Thanksgiving week this week, I thought of a couple questions, as you might assume from me during this time. And I guess a question that I have for you this morning is, what are some things that you are thankful for? Lift up some things that you're thankful for. Children? Okay, marriage? Life, yes. Anyone else? June? Awesome. Healthy baby 46 years ago, and praise God they are alive today. Yes. Job, friends, and family. And most of all, God. Now, don't let that intimidate y'all. Y'all keep lifting it up. I'm thankful for a lot of the suffering and turmoil that you've had in your life because it's brought her where she is now. Anyone else? Speaking of coming home, welcome home, Mandy. All right, so now let's turn these things on their head for just a minute and ask ourselves, and I'm asking you as well, how do you express your thankfulness? How do you express your thankfulness? Awesome. Yay. That is awesome. Thank you for sharing. That's right. So how do we express our thankfulness? Is it in the silence that we just had that was broken by an amazing voice of innocence? Because, you know, sometimes we are silent, aren't we? Now, if there's something that we don't like, we are sure to share. But if it's something that we like, something that we're thankful for, in a way we almost think we should, that's the way they should treat us, right? And so we never say thank you, do we? Sometimes, right? But what are some other ways that you express your thankfulness? Giving, okay. Believe me, I am too. Okay. Praise God. Anyone else want to share? Yes.
The hardest thing for me is listening.
What?
Listening.
Oh, nice. I'm sorry. The hardest thing for you is listen. I'm really sorry. I couldn't pass it up. Yeah. Lending an ear to someone in need is your way to express your thankfulness? Yes. Awesome. Whenever he has the ability, has something that someone else can like or use, he shows his thankfulness by giving that. Did I say that all right? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Awesome. What this leads us to when we talk about expressing our thankfulness, it leads to kind of the word of the day for me. And what I called it is, are you thank living? Are you thank living? It's not with a G, it's with an L. Are you thank living? And just to make sure you hear me, let's say that together. Are you thank living? Thank living. The Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians, which Justin read for us earlier, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Now, wait a minute. Do we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude? Do we do that? All right, I just got hung up on that there. I wanted to make sure that we heard that. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of who? Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You know, the dictionary defines gratitude as the quality or feeling of being grateful or thankful, which in turn means to be warmly or deeply appreciative of kindness or benefits received. The quality of feeling or being grateful or thankful, warmly or deeply appreciative of kindness or benefits received. And I was kind of surprised about this. The dictionary also describes Thanksgiving Day as a national holiday for giving thanks to God. National holiday for giving thanks to God. Thanksgiving is such an awesome time for us to get together with family and friends and be grateful, to laugh, right? To relax, to get our bellies full for many of us. But today I want to speak of a 365-day a year thankful living. And I'm calling it thanks living. Let's say it together. Thanks living. How about if we define, if we could define our lives as thanks living all year long? You ever thought about that? There's a story in the Gospel of Luke that I'd like to read to you this morning. I welcome you to turn to it. Maybe you're already in Colossians. Just turn back a few books to the book of Luke. If you're not, the New Testament is about two-thirds of the way back in your Bible. It begins with the book of Matthew, then the Gospel of Mark, and then the Gospel of Luke. So Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. This is a story about Jesus, of course. Luke chapter 17 will begin with verse 11. Now listen to this. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village. 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master!" Now, don't miss the distance part. Whenever you have leprosy, you could not get close to people. You had to be at a distance at all times. As a matter of fact, they had communities, special communities for lepers in that case, which not all the time was leprosy, as we know today. Oh, but as Jesus entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a, what was he? A Samaritan, that's right. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go your way, for your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. You know, this passage is interesting, and it tells of an interesting truth of humanity, doesn't it? The lepers came to Jesus begging for him to heal them. He cured them, and 9 never came back to thank Jesus for the cure. In so many of the healing stories of the Gospels, Jesus heals people because of their faith, the faith that compelled them to come to him seeking his touch, seeking his healing touch, believing that he had power to make them well. Jesus tells the grateful Samaritan leper that his faith has healed him as well, but this time it is the foreigner's faithful gratitude and praise of God that heals him. You see, in that gratitude, the foreigner also faithfully acknowledged something that was very special about Jesus. You see, the Samaritan return to Jesus was not only special just because he came back to say thank you, but also because he was showing himself to the priest. This leper turned to show himself to the priest, not some other priest. Jesus was the priest, and this Samaritan recognized that. Jesus saw the great faith of this man expressed in many ways, declared him whole, and sent him on his way. Now, the other 9 had been healed, we guess. The story makes us assume that. But only this one received Jesus' declaration of salvation. Have you ever noticed that before? Only this one received Jesus' declaration of salvation. It was the man's faith in Jesus Christ, the high priest, expressed in sincere and fervent gratitude, that saved him, that brought him complete healing. Amen? Faith like gratitude is our response to the grace of God as we have experienced it. Now, for those who have become aware of God's grace, all of life is filled with a sense of gratitude. And each encounter becomes an opportunity to see and to respond like the faithful spirit of the grateful leper. Folks, this is thanks living. This very thing is thanks living. The Samaritan, because of his praising God, was really whole in soul and as well as in body for all eternity. Jesus saw the need of the lepers and he acted on it. When the leper saw healing, he did not just celebrate his good fortune. He returned to praise God and fall on his face before Jesus in gratitude. You know, gratitude may be the purest measure of our character. Gratitude may be the purest measure of our character and spiritual condition. As believers, we need to be aware that gratitude opens up our lives for God's will to be done in and through us. Have you ever thought about that? Let's read this together. As believers, we need to be aware that gratitude opens up our lives for God's will to be done in and through us. In a sense, gratitude is an expression not only of faith, but also of modesty. Listen to this. This was kind of cool, I thought. In Hebrew, the word for gratitude is hodah. And that is the same word that's translated as confession. As believers, we need to be aware that gratitude, hodah, opens up our lives for God's will to be done in and through us. To offer thanks is to confess dependence, isn't it? To offer thanks is to confess dependence, to acknowledge that others have the power to benefit us. And it's to admit that our life is better because of that person's efforts. And our lives are better because of the work of God in Jesus Christ. We are greatly blessed because of the love of our generous Savior. Yet is our gratitude to God reflective of His generosity to us? Is it really? Think about your daily life. Is your gratitude to God reflective of His generosity to us? There's an old spiritual discipline of listing one's blessings, naming them before God and giving thanks. It's really a healthy thing to do. Quite honestly, it helps you see the cup half full most of the time rather than half empty, as we tend to be. Especially in a world where we many times assume it's our right to get these things, isn't it? In a world that we believe it's our right to health. We believe it's our right to happiness. We believe that every comfort that we can see is our right to have. Our culture teaches us that. We believe it's our right. It's easy to get caught up in our rights, isn't it? To become bitter and angry when we don't get all that we are entitled to. The absence of gratefulness, right? It reveals self-centeredness. The absence of gratefulness reveals an attitude that I deserve more than I ever get. So I don't need to be grateful. I don't need to thank people because I deserve exactly what they have given me. I think we all know the misery of an ungrateful soul. We've seen one. We've talked to people that are this way. And quite honestly, we've looked in the mirror some days and seen it there, haven't we? But with gratitude, folks, there is joy. Just think of the happiness that comes in living a thankful life. Thanks living and pouring out all our praise upon those who give of themselves in whatever way for our benefit. You know that wonderful feeling, don't you? Whenever you truly are thankful. Now, here's the deal. Many times we get this feeling, all of us do, when it's an unexpected gift. You're like, oh, wow, thank you so much, Cindy. Right? But honestly, even with a gift that we know that's Cindy's character and that she would offer to us every time she sees us, isn't that just as special a gift? Shouldn't we respond just the same way with our thankfulness to her? The grateful person reveals a humility of spirit and a sensitivity to love expressed by others. The grateful person regards others' acts of kindness and experiences of God's grace with profound appreciation. Life itself is a gift. Someone in the first service said, I'm thankful for the fact that I can breathe. Have you thought about that? Now, most of us don't, quite honestly, until there's a day that comes when we can't. And suddenly we're going, oh, dear God, thank you. Right? The friendship of others, the love of family and special friends, they're an overwhelming sign of grace. Amen? You cannot help but be thankful for such expressions of love. Guys, don't be afraid of it. Even we can see and experience expressions of love. And if we live as a grateful people, I think we will find that it will draw us more fully into the presence of God. Amen? Lifting our spirits and enlivening our souls. I found this story. Pastor Chuck Swindoll tells of this story. And he tells of a visit to a veterans hospital. And he says the day that he arrived to visit, he saw what he called a touching scene. And the man had a young son, and this man was in the hospital. And during the man's stay in the hospital, he had made a little wooden truck for his son. And the boy was not allowed into his room. Right? Believe it or not, for those of you that are younger than me, there was a time when kids were not allowed in hospital rooms. I remember those days. And then when I became ministry, I carried my babies into hospital rooms. And they did more ministry than I did most of the time. So something changed in the meantime. But there was a time when kids could not go into hospital rooms. And that was the case with this story. And his father had made this toy because of all the time that he had. And an orderly had gotten the gift from his father and walked it down to the boy. So now, just, I want you to picture this. So the dad is in this fifth floor of the hospital, right? And the mom and the orderly and the boy happen to be on the sidewalk in front of the hospital, and the dad's window is right above, so he can look down and see this, all right? So do you have that in your mind? Can you picture that? All right. So the father was looking out of this fifth-story window, watching his son unwrap this gift after the orderly had given it to him. And the little boy opened the package, and his eyes got wide when he saw this wonderful little truck, and he hugged it to his chest. The father was walking back and forth going, "Son, it's me. I made it. I gave it to you. It's me. I'm up here." He says that he could almost see the man's lips, read the man's lips as he was saying that. But the little boy put the truck down and reached up and hugged the orderly and thanked him for his truck. And again, all this time, the frustrated father was going through these dramatic gestures going, "Son, I'm up here, look, just look up here." And finally, the mother and the orderly turned the boy's attention up to that fifth floor window. And it was then that the boy said, "Daddy, oh, thank you, Daddy. I miss you. Thank you for my truck." And the father stood in the window with tears pouring down his cheek. How often, maybe in a more grown-up way, do we express that kind of gratitude? And maybe we should act more like kids sometimes in that sense. Amen? But that kind of thanks living. Do you hear what I'm saying today? How often do we pour our gratitude out to God who has blessed us in so many ways? Even on the worst day of our life, God has blessed you in so many ways. How often do we pour our gratitude out to others who support us in small and big ways? Folks, this, what I'm speaking of, is thanks living. Let's say it together. Thanks living. God gave us His only Son. God gave us all the good things that are around us. God gave us the loving and supportive friends and family that we have. Let us live in a way that we would, that would be described as thanks living. The story of the 10 lepers reminds us that if our faith is genuine, we will never cease praising God for the many blessings in our life. Amen. The biggest thing that we have to be thankful for, above all of creation, above all the gifts that God has given humanity, is that God loves us just the way we are. God loves you just the way we are. Does God want you to stay in that very place? No, but God loves you just the way you are. God loves you just the way you are. And God came to earth in Jesus Christ to meet you personally. And He died on the cross for you and for me because He loves you and me so much. And anything we do, is out of gratitude for what God has done for us. Folks, what a privilege we have to experience a relationship with the person and the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, come on. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
This week, let's make it a thanks living week. Amen? But let's make it a thanks living week that lasts all year long. Do you think we can do that? Do you think we can live a thanks living life? You think that's possible? Awesome. I want to reread Colossians for you. Above all, the Apostle Paul says, clothe yourselves with what? Which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Oh, a barbershopper loves to hear perfect harmony, right? Yeah. And let the peace of Christ rule. Oh, wait, I got to say something, guys. It just came to me. I'm chasing a rabbit here. I'll freely admit it. Perfect harmony. Okay, barbershop. I'm not cutting hair. Obviously, I have no hair to cut. Singing, barbershop, four voices. When those four voices, this doesn't happen on a piano or an instrument. When those four voices sing perfectly in tune, other notes are created. They're called undertones and overtones. It's the physics of music. It's the way it works. And I'm not Jamie probably could tell you, but there are fifths and sevenths. All these things are created in music. And so even though there's four voices singing, it sounds like there is a choir or a chorus singing. All right. If you've ever heard a barbershop quartet and you've heard a good barbershop quartet, you will hear that. And it'll sound like a large group, at least larger than four, singing. All right. There, one thing I love about barbershop is we are a part of creation when we sing the best that we can sing the way God created it to be. Do you hear what I'm saying? We are a part of creation. That's what this is saying. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. When we clothe ourselves with love, all that is bound together in a creation process because we are in perfect harmony. We are much more than the sum of our parts. Do you understand what I'm saying today? Whenever we wrap all this up in love, right? We are much more than we could ever be on our own. Do you hear what I'm saying today? Do you understand me? Hate doesn't do it. Talking behind people's back doesn't do it. Only love does it. Only love creates perfect harmony where we can be a part of that creation process and be more than we could ever be otherwise. Ever be otherwise. Okay, I'm back. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you all were called in the one body. Now wait, you need to take that personally. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called. Amen, Tim. In the one body. What's the one body? The body of Christ, the church, right? And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another. All wrapped up in love, remember? Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with what? In your hearts sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Folks, may you begin today, if you haven't before, may you begin today living a thanks-living lifestyle. And may it begin this day, and may next year at this time, May you look back and say, this last 365 days has been full of, let's say it together, thanksgiving. Can I get an amen this morning? Thanks, living. I guess my biggest wish for you this morning, as we leave this place and everyone goes down to eat turkey and dressing. No, seriously. My prayer for you is that you have a happy Thanksgiving this week. And truly and honestly, with my deepest sincerity, I hope you work to make this year a year of thanksgiving. Let's pray. Holy God, we celebrate you this day. We thank you for the amazing, both great and small, the gifts that you give us, God. The very breath that's in our lungs, a heart that beats in our chest, medicine that helps us live more healthy ways. For a church family that loves us and cares for us and does all it can to support us and our family and our life. We celebrate you, God. As others have said, we celebrate those difficult times because, God, without those difficult times, we wouldn't be who we are today that can give you praise and glory and honor. Without both the mountaintops and the valleys, there's no way that we could be the person we are today, God, and we celebrate you. Because we understand, as we look back, life is not lived on the mountaintop, God. Life is lived in the valley. So be with us. May we experience a thanks-living lifestyle. And may we continue at 365 days a year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.